Okay. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We have another three Kayamita who just came. They are Brother Song, Sister Ann, and Sister Sally. Sally and Ann are sisters. So we welcome them. Okay. We can take maybe we do a simple what they call puja invocation, Turn to page 6. Okay, I will read the English translation. Invocation to the Devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajas Sunantu Sagamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vichacharana Sampanno Sukato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho ญาปฏิปันโนกัวโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะติตังจัตตาริปุริสายุคานิอัตตปุริสาปุกาลาเอสาปะกาวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดากิเนโยอัญจาลิกะระเนโยอนุตตรังปุญญาเกตาโลกาสาติเควิวัตุระHomage to the Triple Gemma. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava.พุทธัง ภะคะวันตัง อภิวาเทมิ สวากาโต ภะคะวะตา ธัมโม ธัมมัง นะมัสสามิสุปาติปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิโอเคOkay, it's N and Sally here, not yet. Oh, okay. Never mind. Then the program, the objective, I will read later. Huh? Maybe you all can. Okay, instead of meditate now, huh? I think I share this small section of the Six Patriarch Sutta.You turn to your heart sutta. Page 8. 2.2. Important quotation from Six Patriarch Platform Sutta or Huineng's Platform Sutta. Huineng is the Six Patriarch.How many of you don't know what a patria is? Oh, you don't know. Huh? Don't know? You also don't know? Liu Zhu, ah. Oh, meaning of patria. But this one is not the Christian one, Tian Zhu, ah. This one is from India. During the time of the Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha is considered the first original teacher of present day.Buddhism. So you can say he is the first patriarch of India. Then after him, there are many patriarchs. Then when it comes to Bodhidharma, the Bodhidharma was the last patriarch of India. But he brought the teaching over to China.So he was called the first patriarch of China. Understand, huh? Then after the first patriarch, he passed it on to the second, third, fourth, then fifth patriarch. Then the fifth patriarch passed it on to the sixth patriarch, which is Huineng. Huineng is the sixth patriarch, and he is very famous because he was the one that actually bring forth Mahayana to another level, and Buddhism flourished because of him. So Huineng, even though he's an illiterate, a woodcutter, but his past is very, very beautiful. So he was a great being. So I will read to you the history which you will rejoice. You listen. Introduction. One day, while delivering firewood to a store, Huineng heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutta. So this is the Diamond Sutta. Jing Kang Jing. You check the title, sometimes they call it the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta. Vajra is like the wisdom sword, the sword. Prajna Paramita is the perfection of wisdom. So this sutta also another very powerful Mahayana sutta. That's why they give it the title Prajna Paramita. Prajna is wisdom. It's a Sanskrit word. The Pali word is Panya. Paramita is a perfection. So this sutta also, if you do the perfection of wisdom, you have to understand. Otherwise you cannot develop the perfection of wisdom. Then the title is Vajra instead of heart. So the Heart Sutta and the Diamond Sutta, they are very powerful Mahayana Sutta. Both has its greatness. But like I shared earlier on, Heart Sutta came from Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, which is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And she was so compassionate, so loving, and the wisdom was so great that while cultivating that Prajna Paramita Sutta, means while she was perfecting her wisdom, all of a sudden the true mind illuminated the five skandhas. Means the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. Then it realized that the five aggregate of form and mind was empty. That's how she crossed over and became what she is. So the Heart Sutta actually, at least, is still got introduced to you, the five aggregate of form and mind. But it straight away tell you they are empty, that's it. So the teaching is very difficult to understand because, like I said just now, it's for the enlightened one. But at least he got introduced to you the five aggregate. So you have a very good guide to go into it. But when it comes to Diamond Sutta, there is no mention of the five aggregate of form and mind. He just tell you what the true mind is all about, what the enlightened mind is all about. He said, if you want to have the enlightened mind, your mind must have no dwelling. Understand? Then if you use your thinking mind, mundane mind, to listen, you sure cannot agree on why. How can my mind don't dwell on anything? What is dwelling? Dwelling, you dwell somewhere. It's like you have a dwelling. You have a house. You stay. Your mind stay there. So how do your mind stay there? Because your mind, most of the living beings, untrained mind, they think a lot. So then they lost in thought. They dwell very long somehow. They can tell story after dwelling, create thought, everything, sankara, emotion, react, and hold on for so long until become so depressed, so miserable. That's how suffering comes to be. So when you dwell on something, means you are holding on something. But it never tell you all this, the sutta. It just tell you the mind must have no dwelling. Otherwise, it's the suffering mind, mundane mind. You dwell on the five aggregate of form and mind, and through delusion, self-delusion, sakkayaditti, you grasp and cling and give meaning. Then you become tormented because you believe there is a being inside there. So Mahayana Sutta are very difficult to comprehend. That's why it's not easy to share Mahayana Sutta. Very difficult to get real teacher or real spiritual master who can teach and share. So this Diamond Sutta was one of the very famous one. So He Ning heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutta and had an awakening when he heard the stanza. Read aloud. What is it, the stanza? So try to comprehend that. Your mind must have no dwelling. What type of mind doesn't dwell? Silent mind doesn't dwell. Why? The silent mind got no thought. So that's why now you know why meditation, you must silent your mind. And your mind can never be silent if the mundane mind is active, if you start to think. When there is thought, there is no silence. When your mind, the true mind, is clouded by thought, distracted by thought, it cannot be silent. Then he immediately inquired about the sutta and decided to seek out the fifth patria. The fifth patria is Hong Ren. I don't know the Mandarin word. At his monastery on Huang Mei San, Huang Mei Mountain. Hui Ning then embarked on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrived at Huang Mei San, where the fifth patria was residing. Here they cut short a bit already. Actually, he was a very Viropaiti son. He will never leave until the mother agree or give permission. And later the mother give permission, yet he don't want to go. But the merchant, the rest recited the thing, and I think there are a few good people tell him, you don't worry, we take care of your mother. And then only he left. Then the moment he arrived, you have to listen, this one is very good. From the first chapter of the main canon version of the Platform Sutta, because I actually check it up in the internet, because there are many versions, but all the other versions, the English word is run a lot, because the English word are no good. Then I found this one, the main canon one. Means I think Ming Dynasty, they translated it. This one is very good. So according to the first chapter of the main canon version of the Platform Sutta, the fifth patria was asked, when he arrived at the temple, the fifth patria asked him, who are you and what do you seek? He's new. And what he answered? Feeling, I replied. He immediately told him, your disciple is a commoner from Xingzhou of Lingnan. I have traveled far to pay homage to you and seek nothing other than Buddhahood. See, the message that come out, you dare to say that or not? I say, you're new to Brother Teo's class, you come. I say, who are you? Where do you come from? Why do you come? You follow He Ning, you read. he straight away said, I'm your disciple already. He don't care. He know you accept him. Then what he say? Huh? He said, I'm a commoner from Xingzhou or Lingnan, means from the south. He said, I have traveled far because he has traveled for 30 days on foot to pay homage to you, then to seek nothing except Buddhahood. You got such a disciple come. I tell you, unless you are like the patriarch Hong Learner, can perform that duty, you really panic. You better come home, take my place. But the exchange was very good. The fifth patriarch purposely actually say something back to him, to actually see whether this one real one or not. He said, oh, so you are from Lingnan, a southerner. And he used the word, and a barbarian. Because in China at that time, Beijing side, the north, they are educated. South, no education. They say woodcutter, ignorant, illiterate, is it? And they call it barbarian. No behavior, no educated one. Even he say, so you are a southerner and a barbarian. How can you expect to become a Buddha? Ask the fifth patriarch. Winning answer, very good. You listen. This is how those who have wisdom, they will answer you. So next time all the new people come, I ask, who are you? What's your name? Where are you from? Why do you come? The way Hui Ning answered was very good. Hui Ning said, I replied, although people exist as northerner and southerner, but deep in the Buddha nature, there is neither north or south. A barbarian differ from your highness. He called him the holiness. Sorry. Physically, we look different. But what's the difference when the Buddha nature is concerned? Master Hong Lun, the moment he heard the answer, he knew this is a real one. Then Master Hong Lun quickly tell him. He said, okay, you go to the kitchen. You go and pound rice. He said, because he very scared that the temple people or the monk got jealous. Because these people are from the educated group. And they have been there long. And this woodcutter is a commoner. No? You just allow him to join the Sangha. You know what will happen? No? He will progress very fast. Then he will ask that type of question and the Sangha will all be panicked. And they don't like this type of thing. How can a barbarian understand Dhamma like that? So to them, so Hong Lun very careful. He said, okay, you go to the kitchen, pound rice. So low profile. Then he said, Hui Ning chop firewood and pound rice at the monastery for the next 8 months. Then how he became the sixth patriarch? One day, Master Hong Lun announced, the question of insistent rebirth is a momentous one. You better listen. If after hearing this, you somehow don't know how to strike on your heedfulness, sorry. He said, the question of insistent rebirth. You know what is insistent rebirth or not? Non-stop rebirth. Means you go through samsara for eternity. And every rebirth is suffering. So he said, the question of insistent rebirth is a momentous one. day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from the bitter sea of life and death. The Mandarin word more meaningful. Khu hai. Liao sen si. Means you have to go beyond birth and death. You have to liberate your mind from, they always say, Khu hai. Khu hai means the bitter sea. Hen khu. Suffering is core, jinya core. Why they say core? When you eat something, core is bitter, is it? Huh? Is it bitter? Why bitter is suffering? Some people like to eat bitter thing or not. but I think it's a Mandarin way of putting it. So bitter sea, khu hai. You read English, you catch no war, liao bo kiu. Why sea also got bitter one? I thought salty one is it? So when you read Dhamma, you must be careful. You don't take the word literally translate. Then you end up like Malaysian English. You know what is Malaysian English? The two British, when they come back, they go on the trishaw, they cannot understand, or taxi. The driver suddenly break. Oh yeah, sorry lah. Break no eat lah. we translate directly from the Chinese. Break bo jia. No eat. That well, British guy. You learn English from us. I cannot understand you. Break also need food on it. So that's why you need to have some form of understanding of how this English translation come about. So don't be too impatient to comment us. You must understand there's a reason behind. Luckily, I know a little bit of Mandarin. Otherwise, very difficult to explain this part. You ask me, see where got Peter one, Brother Teo. Wow, yeah. If I don't know Mandarin, then I say maybe wrong word. But it's not wrong because direct translation from the Mandarin. Then he said, you seem to go after tinted merits. This is what I want you to understand. You know what is tinted merit? Tinted with something or not. Means not the true merit. Not pure. Good according to you. Merit because you believe this is doing good. It's just like you pamper your children. I love them. Then you pamper, give money. Then when they want to do something or study something, certain courses which you think no future on. Then you say, no. This is no good. You study medicine, engineering, accountancy. This is good for you, is it? But good for you, bad for the child. The child don't like. So, good if it's tinted with motive, tinted with the intention behind, which is evil root base, then if your action is out of greed to develop merits, to acquire merits, or to become famous, or to become like, so that people know, you donate so much. So actually, pride behind, understand not? So all these are tinted merits, not the true merit. The true merit is without the evil root, pure action, born of right view, right understanding. So the fifth Peter says, you all seem to go after tinted merits only. Merits which will cause rebirth, etc. Yet merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. Obscure by what? Obscure by what? Ignorant delusion. By your deluded thought. by all the what they call phenomenal world. So that true nature cannot come out and shine forth is because you have a lot of delusion and ignorance that condition you to think in a heedless way, to become emotional, to become miserable, unhappy. So all this mind state will obscure and block as long as you hold very strongly to that mundane mind, thinking that they are real. You will not be able to escape from birth and death. So, fifth patriarch is very wise, isn't it? Yet, the tinted merits will be of no help if your essence of mind is obscure. So, go and seek prajna. So now I tell you all, go and seek prajna, which is wisdom in your own mind. And then write me a stanza or katha about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the rope, the insignia of the patriarchship, means to become the next patriarch, which is the sixth patriarch. And the Dhamma, the ultimate teaching of the Zen school, means they will transmit to you the mind-to-mind seal of the Zen school. And I shall make him the sixth patriarch. So, go away quickly, he said. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. The man who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once. See? Spontaneous one. Huh? As soon as he is spoken to about it. And he cannot lose sight of it, even when engaged in battle. Understand? That's why the Dhamma is like that one. When you awaken, the understanding and wisdom cannot get lost on. It's always there. No need to remember on. The one that you have to remember on is definitely thought-based knowledge. Because Dhamma is a type of wisdom, no? It's not a type of knowledge, you know? Not rigid or no. So without that wisdom, you cannot deal with life. Your life is so complex and so complicated. Every living being is so complex and so complicated. Everything that arises, the causes and conditions behind, is so complicated and so complex. So how can you use a rigid knowledge to understand and term it wisdom or prajna? Yes. Yeah, pass the mic. Yeah.
Can you kindly further explain this mind-to-mind seal kind of thing?
Later. It's all down there. You have to be patient a bit. Oh, that means I know how many people read and how many people don't read. How many people have read this Hatsuta note on? Oh, very good, Richard. You have finished reading that chapter. Oh, now reading, that is different. What I wanted, how many have really read through? This is so beautiful. No? You have been having the book for how long and yet you didn't even read. Huh? This is chapter 2. Chapter 1. 2. Chapter 2. Not much time. So now I give you the same question. Then the whiteboard is there. Come out and write stanza. So after that you meditate, then tomorrow morning write stanza. If you shy, middle of the night you come out like Shen Xiu, right? Then Brother Teo look, approve, then you put up your hand. Brother Teo, I write one. Okay, I read on. Mimi, thanks for the question. It's very good. Because that question is actually very important for cultivator. That's why she asked. So it is all explained now there. And you will get a shock of your life. What mind to mind seal is all about. When the fifth patriarch tell the thing to the sixth patriarch, the moment he heard, he had a great awakening. And he told the fifth patriarch, wow, the mind to mind seal is just like that. so simple. Is it? How amazing is it? How can it be like that? Is it? If living being know this, is it very easy to become enlightened? Yeah, really. After we go through, that's why this platform sutta is really beautiful. That's why Hui Ning Liu Zhu, he is very famous. And because of him, Mahayana teaching came out. And because of him, the teaching of beyond mind from the nature came out. So I read on. However, the disciples said to each other that they didn't need to write any gatha, and that surely their teacher, the head monk, which is Venerable Sun Siu, would become the sixth patriarch, because they all respect him, you see. So only Sun Siu wrote a gatha for Master Hong Ren. But as the head monk, Sun Siu was well respected. And under great pressure to produce a gatha that would qualify him as the next patriarch. You see, Sun Siu also got what they call problem. The thought come back. The ego is still there, understand? So he is worried. However, he was uncertain as to his own understanding. That's why the Dhamma Ipacetang. Understand? Ipacetang, you're not sure, very likely not the real one. And eventually decide to write a poem anonymously on the wall. See? Middle of the night, nobody around come and write. In the middle of the night. Announcing his authorship only after Master Hong Ren approved of it. You all read the poem aloud. Mandarin one first, those who know Mandarin. Use the mic, maybe know Mandarin. Wait, together.
Shen si pu ti su, xin lu ming jing tai, si si qin fo si, wu shi re chen an.
Very good. So the English translation, now we read together. The body is like a bohi tree, the mind a mirror bright on a stand, polish until it shines, so that no dust can alight. What you think of this kata? What you think? Is your body like a bohi tree? You look at form, sure, don't like lah. Totally different. So, actually, Sun Siu is pretty good in his cultivation. For him to come out with this, the body is like a bohi tree. Actually, he's not bad. But you read the next one. This one shows that he is still at the mind. He has reached the, what they call, before you enter, you reach that point. You call it. There is a word. He is at a threshold, actually can. But there's another word I forgot. I always use it. No, not gateway. Nothing to do with the gateway. You see, because he cannot understand what is beyond mind, because he haven't realized the cessation. So he didn't know there's another nature beyond the true mind. So he cultivate the mundane maya, like he say, polish until it shine, so that no dust can alight. So what is dust? All the asava, defilement, everything. Who created dust? Your mundane mind. That's why you create. The duality theory, the Buddha also got teach, he said, it must mean sati idang hoti. It must mean asati idang ahoti. So the Buddha said, when this arises, automatically that arises. But when this ceases, that also ceases. So duality is like that. You know what duality is like? Duality. Let's say Sun Siu, because he created dust, means defilement. Okay? Defilement. Then the other side is what? The other side is what? No defilement means wholesomeness. No defilement. Defilement. Or make it easier. Good and bad. Good. Bad. Or wholesome, unwholesome. Unwholesome. And wholesome. So the Buddha said, Ibas bin sati idang hoti. If you don't create a concept of defilement, there is no need for a non-defilement state. Correct? Understand? But because you create this thing as good, automatically, whatever that is not according to your good is no good, isn't it? It's bad, isn't it? Can I not? But if you transcend duality, when you got wisdom, when you can see things as they are, where got good, where got bad? You never are good according to who, no? That's why good and bad duality are relative. But truth is not relative. Truth, understand? Truth is ultimate truth. So when your wisdom level is different, like Sensu's case, to him, this is still defilement. Understand? It's just like to him, at his level, he said, if you cultivate like that, polish the mind, means ever mindful to take care of the mind, so that no unwholesome thought, understand? No unwholesome mental intention, so that no evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion inside the mind consciousness, so that the content is pure. And ever mindful, you know, means polish until it shine, you know, so that no dust alight, you know, which is correct, isn't it? Because the Buddha says, avoid all you will do good. Then train your mind to be heedful. What is heedful? Ever mindful to do this. Understand? But what he cannot understand is, you only do to develop the silent mind, then use the silent mind to insight, then you don't have to do anymore. Understand? So his problem is, he is at the gate to go into the true mind. But he doesn't know that he is in front. Understand? He continues to stand at the gate there. Understand? And what he do? Every day, ever mindful. No? Every day, polishing the mind. No? Make sure this mind no evil. No? I tell you how to live life like that. Understand? No? You are too busy. Make sure no defilement. No? You cannot live life like that. Because if you do this, it is only during the training time. When you train, you have to do that. So that this mind can actually be trained into a silent mode. Then after that, if you already have the silent mind, what is heedfulness? Ever mindful to cultivate one. To be heedful is to be constantly meditative and ever mindful. Right? So, heedfulness is ever mindful to do what? Cultivate noble ihopa. Instead of cultivating noble ihopa, he only interested in what? So that no dust can land on it. Understand? Means the mind clear and bright. Last time, Ajahn Mahabhava in his book also, he writes that radiant mind, he was trapped inside there. Because he thought that is the true mind, that is the pure mind. So that is it really. But cultivation is not like that. No. Cultivation is to understand that this one is the mundane mind that you are trying to train and develop the silent mind so it can connect to the true mind. So this silent mind, which is the true mind, you have to understand. No. The moment you penetrate, you will insight and you will understand. then after that you no need to do, no? Understand, no? Why must you do? Well, the wisdom is there. All these are mind make, understand, no? The duality created by the thought to divide, to delude, to cause you to grasp, argue. So when you develop the direct seeing and wisdom, then you realize thing is just the way it is. Correct or not? No right, no wrong. Agree or not? Because let's say somebody scold you, abuse you, do a lot of funny thing to you. You say, this guy is a very, very bad guy. Correct or not? Or naughty guy. Or somebody with maybe bad character. So what you do? According to you, he is bad. Because if you, let's say you are spiritual cultivator, how can he behave like that? Simply scold people, simply abuse people, simply hit our people, simply do all those things. This one, karma very bad, she'll go hell. It's because at your level you think this is wrong. So right according to you. This is not nature's law. This is not the reality. The reality is, if you have the wisdom, if you can accept things as they are, means what? He is what he is. Understand? Correct? He is what he is. Because deluded one will do deluded thing. Emotional people, violent people will do violent thing. Understand? Greedy people will do greedy things. Selfish people do selfish thing. So he is just the way he is. You are the way you are. Because you cannot understand duality, you point your finger and scold. So the mundane, untrained mind without wisdom always create duality. And what is duality? The first two hindrances of mind, like and dislike, sensual desire and ill will. You see or not? And the world is very fond of this type of thing. Very quick to tell people, oh, you southerner, you woodcutter, you barbarian, why you come? You want to become Buddha. So the mind always think like that. The mundane mind always have this type of perception and reaction because of the conditioning. But the moment you penetrate, like what the Buddha said, imas min sati idang hoti. When you create a good, whatever that is not good, the opposite arise, understand or not? So you know what Sensu is doing or not? He cannot see, you know. The thought create defilement, no. Then the thought want to destroy defilement, no. Polish until it shines so that no dust get alive. Like you all are sometimes, I still got dirty thought. I still got defilement, I still got a lot of greed. But he cannot see the condition arising, because he never used that mindfulness to actually penetrate the Dhamma, to develop the direct seeing, the condition arising, leading to impermanent, leading to all the what they call non-self and emptiness. Then how when the mind through the wrong view, delusion, how it cling and it hold to the five griha of mind. Well, he didn't do all those things. That's why he cannot penetrate and the mind cannot cease. That's why he cannot know the true mind. So his poem is actually the highest teaching that normal Theravada people cultivate. Because your cultivation is like avoid all evil to good, isn't it? So he's doing that. Avoid all evil to good. So defilement is evil. But purify the mind, he doesn't understand. But he is not bad already, actually. He can tell you the body is like a bohi tree, means he's very good already. Then the Buddha said, to deal with your duality is very simple. When this arises, that arises. Correct or not? When you create a bad, good arises. When you create a wholesome, unwholesome arises. So how do you cease it? How do you end this problem? Don't create, understand how? Don't create means what? Don't arouse a thought. Don't arise a concept. Don't arise an idea. That's why I use the silent mind to see things as they are. No word, no concept, nothing. Understand? Then you realize there is nobody inside there. Then, where got such thing as defilement? I got defilement. Understand?
Anger is not you. Fear is not you. We went through the previous few days, understand? So when you develop the meditation accordingly, you will understand all this. You will not be deluded by it. So just like the Buddha said, when you don't create, imas mean asati. Idang hoti. When this ceases, that will cease. When you don't have a concept of right and wrong, good and bad, duality, you just see things as they are, direct seeing reality, then you can accept everything. The thing is just the way they are, understand? And my teacher, Ajayantra, is very good. He used to tell me last time, he said, Dhamma is very simple. Everything is just mighty nature rolling by, understand? You understand? Mighty nature rolling by. You know the meaning? Following nature's law, understand? Mighty nature rolling by. So, what must you do? The wisdom. Huh? What must you do? Good. Very good. Accord and flow. But my teacher didn't say this. This one I say one. I later develop one. Accord and flow. My teacher say, you see whether same or not. He say, we choose. Again, acceptance. Accept. Everything as what? Very good. Wow, Ingvi, very good. Everything as? Sorry. As natural. Oh, then he said, no more suffering. Oh, so simple, huh? Only mighty nature rolling by. We just accept everything as natural. Count him, no more suffering. You go and understand this. And this is the gata, right? Understand? We just accept everything as natural. That one did not. Only mighty nature rolling by. Can I understand that? See, what I learned from my teacher, I all share to you. I don't not like other Kung Fu master, keep one step behind, scared you beat me. Understand that? Openly show to you. But whether you can penetrate or not is another thing. The moment I heard this, 20 years ago, there was so much joy in my heart now. It coincides with what I understand now. Because I always know that I have to echo and flow. I cannot resist anything. That's why I never decide anything. I echo and flow. Condition like that, I will do like that. Even our program, you know, we also change. Yeah? We modify according to condition. Program where we got put mid long pole or something at that day, at that place, what hotel, What Valley Hotel? Yeah. Kia Valley Hotel. That program where got Latel. Then where got Champi come here. After 20-30 years I was seen her. Then because of condition that day, because Michael they are living, Joyce they are living, then we decide to have sharing in self meditation. Oh then old Mimi pay me home come. So all those things not supposed to come. That's why you plan also no use, understand? You have to echo and flow. Otherwise, you rigid. No. Program like that, stick to program. And then, no om pay me, maybe home. No all those things, no talk. So all this is very penetrative, Dhamma, understand? Okay, what I want to explain is the first stanza. Since you say what? Sing Zhu Pu Ti Su. Sun. Your Mandarin lousy. Mix up. Sun means your body is like a bohi tree. Understand? Thank you for pointing out. The body is like a bohi tree. I told you, you look at it physically, you should say Bharati, okay, since you say right some more. Yeah, body and poetry are two different things. So. But now I explain, then you tell me whether he's right or not. What is a poetry? Poetry represents what? Tree of enlightenment, isn't it? Because the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and became enlightened, isn't it? So the tree of enlightenment, that's why these are the four objects of veneration. The Buddha asks us to chant and venerate. Vandami cetiyang sabam sabbatane su patititang saririke datu mahabohin. That is a Bodhi tree. So all this is in the teaching. So Bodhi tree is a tree of enlightenment. Why did he associate the body and the Bodhi tree as the same? Like I said, the Bodhi tree is a tree that can make you enlightened, isn't it? Because you sit under it, like Sakyamuni, he became enlightened. This body can make you enlightened. You reflect in the kitchen there. I eat this food not to beautify, not to want, but to sustain this body. Not to intoxicate or indulge and all those things. So that this body can be in a proper health to allow you to what? Cultivate the Dhamma. So this one is only the mundane way of seeing that the body is useful. Then you remember what my teacher tell me, Ajayantra. He said, body is just a body. Mind is mind. Mind never the body. Body never the mind. We just take care of mind because mind is most important. And then he didn't end there. He said, body important too. He's a Thai, no, but he learned so much English by himself. He said, body important too. Because we need the body to harmonize with the mind so that we can use it to cultivate. And that is the real understanding of body and mind. But it didn't really create the very strong impact of why the body is like a Bodhi tree. How come it can make you enlightened? Because the body need to cultivate it. But why you say body? Because unless there is something in the body that you need to use to cultivate, then there is a reason. So anybody can figure out why the body is similar to a Bodhi tree. What did the Buddha teach under the four foundation of mindfulness? He said, Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu, O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the realization of Nibbana. Namely, the four foundation of mindfulness. So the four foundation of mindfulness is about what? The first foundation is what? Kaya nupasana. You need the body, isn't it? Correct or not? Correct or not? Second foundation is what? Vedana nupasana. Feeling. Is it inside the form of mind? Third foundation is what? Chitta nupasana. Is it inside the form of mind? The last one, the Dhamma Nupassana. All the Dhamma inside there, the five degrees of form of mind. And so, whether you can see it or not, there's another thing. So that's why Sun Tzu is very wise. He knows four foundation of mindfulness, everything inside the body. And you need it to develop wisdom and enlightenment. So now you start to understand. Then in the Dhammapada verse, I don't know which verse, until today I still cannot find it. But I read it before. Chief Reverend last night, Kesari Ramananda, used to quote. I think you also heard before. If you can know the Dhammapada verse, please let me know. The Buddha said, within this phantom length body, the book translated, along with perception and thought. No, I don't think it's thought. Perception and awareness. Understand? I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation of the world. You heard of this? This saying. Have you all heard of this saying? You never heard of this? Te. Te is authority, brother Te. You came across, but you cannot remember where. So help me, if it's in Dhammapada, tell me. Your chief reverend mentioned one. It's in all the books. Within this phantom length body, along with perception, they use thought, but must be awareness. I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that leads to it. That is the Four Noble Truths, understand? Or? So that's why this phantom length body, which is your body, your form and mind, your five aggregate, that's why the sense you is actually not bad. Understand? Or? That's why he said, my body, our body is like a bohi tree. So use it to cultivate. But the second stanza is wrong. He said, our mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. You know what mind is that? That is the mundane mind. Keep on reflecting. So that mundane mind is not the true mind. Careful. So this is where sense you fall short. That's why fifth patriarch say, well, later on fifth patriarch call him in. He said, you are okay, he said, but you are at the gate, no? You don't know how to go in, no? He said, go back and, well, he gave him the hint. He said, go back and write me another stanza. You can really, clearly show in your stanza that you have realized that. Then I will pass you the patriarchship. But too bad. Before he can come up with the stanza, Hui Neng already went and write the other poem. You know how Hui Neng counter his poem? I tell you, beautiful. You ask them to read to you. So when the disciples saw this gatha on the wall, there was a great stir or hoo-ha. But when Master Hong Ren saw it, he told them, okay, you can practice according to this gatha. You will not fall into the evil rhyme. Means you can still have sainthood, understand? But you cannot realize arahantship because it won't cease, understand? So he said, if you realize the sainthood, at least sotapan, you won't fall to the evil rhyme. And you will receive great benefit. But basically what he do is avoid evil do good. Then purify the mind, but he doesn't know how to do the final one, understand? So, light incense and pay respect to this gatha, recite it, and you will see your essential nature. See? Hong Ren actually hint to them earlier. You recite it, and when you penetrate and realize that this one is still fall short, then you will realize your essential nature. That's why when Hui Ning asked somebody to read to him, where he heard from the monk who passed by, then he said, I also got a gatha. No? Then he went there. He illiterate, didn't know how to write. So he got another person next to him. That person, I think, is educated. Is a lay person. Then he said, can you do me a favor, mister? So that person looked at him, yeah, can. Wow, anything. He said, I'm illiterate. I don't know how to write. You can help me to write. I also got gatha to write. Wow, that guy looked at him. You illiterate, you got gatha, right? All this monk practice, very educated, also cannot come out with gatha. You got gatha to write. He said, okay, okay. Then after that, the way Hui Neng replied was very good. He tell this this person, he said, ordinary people got like illiterate and educated, no? But the true nature got no illiterate and no educated one. The true nature is wise one. Is it? So you cannot look down upon all this one. After I read to you, very nice. All the disciples praise and memorize the gatha. However, privately, Master Hong Ren told Sun Siu, this is where he told him, you have arrived, correct, gate of enlightenment. That's but haven't entered it. See? With this level of understanding, you still have no idea what that Supreme Bodhi mind is, what that true mind is. Upon hearing my word, the fifth page will say to Sanxiu, you should immediately recognize the original nature. Correct or not? If you really, really have the palami, the moment people point out to you that you are at the gate, you don't want to go in, you should immediately recognize your true mind, true nature. Actually, when he do until there, you know what he should do or not? He should not hold on to duality, understand or not? That is the only last bit he didn't do, understand or not? Because he still got defilement, no? He still got duality. That's why he still got thing to do, no? But if you don't hold on to duality, you don't hold on to defilement, you can follow my teacher's advice and my advice, echo and flow, or accepting as they are, or accept everything as natural, then no duality. No duality means what? The mind no need to hold. And then only it can cease, it can silence. And so. And then only you understand what the true mind is. Then what happened after that? The fifth page I'll continue, is it? You should immediately recognize the original mind, or the true mind, or the essence of mind, or the essential nature, which is unborn, see? And unceasing. 不生不灭, understand? No arising, no ceasing. Arising means born into the world. At all times, see it clearly in every thought, understand? That's why ever mindful, understand not? With the mind free from all hindrance, in the one reality, everything is real. And all phenomena are just as they are. See? Hong Ren no, as they are. It gives you so much hint, no, since you some more cannot penetrate. No. So, no wonder the six patriarchship must go to Hui Ning. Meant to be. Then the next one is, next paragraph is even more beautiful. Master Hong Ren asks Sanxiu to compose another gatha that demonstrates true understanding. So Sanxiu tried hard, but couldn't come up with another verse. Then when a young novik, no, young novik is what? Yeah, young novik, you Pali is called what? Samanera. He said, when a young novik passed the rice mill, reciting Sanxiu's gatha, Hui Ning immediately knew. This verse, like what? Like what? Pronounce. Read it out. True insight. He straight away know what it is. Oh, this poem have not seen the true mind. But he has not gone beyond mind. He's still trapped in mind. He's the highest at the mind level. He actually do until very good already, like ever mindful. Then the mind got little or no defilement already. But you cannot be always doing it. So if you know, you only need to understand that there is still attachment to duality, understand? That's why the mind must have no dwelling. It must have no idea or concept of right and wrong. It is a free mind. Then only it can cease. As long as you are holding to something, you still have an idea of defilement. You cannot penetrate it. But the true mind, no words, no idea. So can follow, huh? Then Hui Ning went to the wall and asked a district officer, there is a district officer next to him, there to write a poem of his own for him. The officer was surprised. He said, how extraordinary. You are illiterate now and you want to compose a gatha. Then what did Hui Ning answer? Whereupon Hui Ning said, if you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone. Wow, that was a powerful statement, huh? That's why you don't play. You don't think, everything also so order, no. Like my wife, so order, no. Very good. You know what I say also to the Lord? Yeah, when she decided to marry me, I got nothing. No. I just graduated from MU. You know. Motorbike also my brother lent me. You know. I got no room, no house, nothing. No. I said, you're not scared, sleep on the roadside. Oh, but so-so, and so and yao so-so. No, she very good. She told me, well, I can feel you very honest. You very sincere. She said, I trust you. More toxic to Muslim God. Oh, yeah. So, you must learn how to observe. Last time, you go and ask around. They always say, I heard y'all. Then I appear one. Yeah, I don't make up one. I'm very simple one. I don't have anything to show one. Watch also very cheap one. Also second hand one. I don't know. Then I dress very simple one. And they know one. The parents, they know. I eat also very simple. Everything is very simple. But when I can afford, I'm not simple. Because my father used to advise me, he said, after so many years, he said, starting you have to be very thrifty, he said. We got no choice. We got to support our family, we got 9 children, all of them, very thrifty. My father know that he was very thrifty because his cat cannot provide for our education. We got 9 brothers and sisters. So my father always tell me, not to say I don't have enough money to provide for your other thing. I need to reserve it for your education. Where he know I will be very good at study. And he actually very, very thrifty to save money for our education. And he never even go for a cinema show in his life. Until that year, Form 5, when I did very well. Then I told my father, I said, go and see. There's a very nice show. So we encourage my father and my mother. That was the first time he went to a cinema. And you know what show was it? Life History of the Buddha. That was I can remember. That was the best. No, that time he didn't know. That time he didn't know. But later on, he very scared. Later on, he know I went very deep into the Dhamma. He very scared. He keep on telling me, don't believe so much. Yeah, every time I want to talk Dhamma to him, he just shut me out. He said, enough. Don't believe all these things. He scared I give up, become monk. And he was the only one in the family that really, really shine for and came out to become a civil engineer. But then he very good. After he knew I didn't become monk. Then I do all this sharing as a lay person. Then I resolve everything. All problems that my family have, he always call me. Even my brothers and sisters all call me. The moment the phone call come, sure kauti one, no matter what the problem is. The only thing I have to do is I drive back or fly back. That's it. Otherwise, I give advice, kauti. Give advice, kauti. So there were many things that actually he knew. So what happened was, when he knew that I won't become monk, he very happy. Then he, ego very strong, don't want to tone down. Don't want even say, now you can talk Dhamma to me. He never say that. But one day, when I went home, I think 3 years before he passed away, he suddenly called me. He said, come, I got something for you. My father seldom give me thing one. So I thought, what is he going to give me? And you know what I saw? He took out one calendar, which he said he has been keeping for many months. Where he received it before Chinese New Year, another calendar. He said, I have kept this for many months. I hope you like it. I just took that out, opened it. Wow, I got a lot of joy. You know the calendar, the first page. Lord Buddha, radiant and shining on there. Wow! I say, okay, thank you. I say, I think now we can talk. That was the moment I can talk to him about Dhamma. That's why when you have this, what they call pure wish, actually, because I invoke the power of his sincerity, his love, he his care, his sacrifice for him to have the causes and conditions to receive this Dhamma. But I really knew without even any Dhamma from me, he already set for life, for future. Because to have me as a son and know how to care for me, provide for me, love me and sacrifice for me, that parami is jabiliyao, I tell you. So all this is how it happened. So we continue, sixth page here. And still not here yet. Oh, Sally Ann. Wow, got that program, right? Song Kei Lao. Welcome. We welcome them. They are my regular Tuesday class. Especially Ann and Sally. Has been very long, since Chabaka Day. And song is quite recent. Got how many years song? 3 years. 2 years more. See? No need so long. Satipatthana say maximum 7 years. 2 years counting. So, have faith. Understand? So we continue. So Huineng replied, if you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone. This statement is very powerful. Don't look down upon anyone. Understand? Sometimes Pacheka Buddha walk by also you don't know. Understand? Then like Mi Fong Chuan like want to share with me. He said, during the Buddha's time, last time I used to tell you all in the Thursday class and Tuesday class, you make aspiration to meet up with Sama Sambuddha. During the Buddha time, there was one quite a rich merchant. No? The first one to see him, no? Before he went to the five ascetic. No? So after the Buddha became enlightened, after the 7 weeks, he decided to go towards the direction of the five ascetic that was with him to share with them the good news. So on the way, he met this merchant. No? So this merchant saw his face so radiant and so peaceful. No? He knew this one, very good monk. So he always go and ask. No? Just like Asaji, when Sariputta went and asked, he just asked, may I know who your teacher is, no? And what he teach. So this merchant also same, no? May I know who your teacher is and what he teach. Then because Sakya Muni is being so sincere, he never lie. He said, I got no teacher. Did he lie or not? He didn't lie. Although he got earlier teacher, Alara Udaka, but the way he realized the truth and become enlightened, he got no teacher. Nobody teach him. That's why he spoke the truth. But this merchant funny, you know, the thought there. That's why I don't slide. He said, this monk must be very arrogant. Where got people no teacher on it? Then he just walk away, you know, smile and walk away. See? Make aspiration, meet Sama Sambuddha. Meet already, cannot recognize. So, there was one Dhamma friend during the early years. You know, brother, like that, I learned a lesson. Now I make aspiration different. Is it? I aspire to meet, recognize, follow. Otherwise, recognize also didn't follow. He said, what a waste. So now you understand. Don't slight. Understand not? Do not slight. There's a feeling, no. If you seek supreme enlightenment, especially supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone. Because Huineng can be a Sama Sambuddha, no? You understand? You understand? So, later on, let's say he becomes Sama Sambuddha, then later on, let's say you come to know, what will you do? Oh, you ask me to write that kata, I refuse to write for you. I somehow like him all. I say, hey, can you? Illiterate. Luckily, this district officer quite wise. The moment he heard this, you know what the district officer said? Oh, sorry, continue. The lowest class may be of great insight, is it? And the highest class may be may commit foolish thing. X. Wow, this one really kau kau. We are district officer, understand? Then in veneration, the district officer wrote Huineng's gatha on the wall for him, next to Shen Xiu. Now you read. Pu ti peng wu su, 明镜亦非台，本来无一物，何处惹尘埃。 See, beautiful, no? It counter exactly. He said, Bohi is fundamentally without any tree. And I said, no. That's why Bohi is not a tree. And I said, no. Because that true wisdom is not a tree. Then the mind is neither the stand or the mirror bride. Only the mundane mind, like a mirror bride, they'll reflect everything. And I said, no. Everything you see, everything you hear, you perceive it. That's why all reflected in your mind. And so since you thought that is the true mind, is it? That's why polish until it shines so that no dust can align. So he called that the great mirror. And so on. Huining already penetrated the true mind, gone beyond mind. That's why he said the true mind is neither the stand nor the mirror bright. Then the best thing is, he said, the true mind, originally there is nothing inside there. What is a true mind? No word, nothing, one another, no concept, nobody inside there, one another, just pure awareness, like that, essence of mind. So, originally there was nothing inside there, one another. Then where can the dust alight? Understand? Because it doesn't hold anything. That's why everything is within it, but not defiled by it. Understand? So when you understand, it's beautiful. Then Huining then went back to the rice pounding. However, this gata created a big stir. Because he was a commoner, illiterate. Wow, everybody. Huining can write this gata. Then everyone was saying, amazing, you can't judge a person by his look. Maybe he will become a living bodhisattva soon. Wow. However, when Master Hongren came out, he just casually said, this hasn't seen the essential nature either, and proceed to wipe the gata off the wall with the shoe. Then the fifth patriarch then went secretly to the room where the rice was found. Seeing Huining was working there with a stone pestle on the waist there, he said to him, a seeker of the path risks his life for the Dhamma. Should he not do so? Then the fifth patriarch then asked, is the rice ready? Oh, the answer very good. Huh? What was the answer you read? Huh? Ready long ago. The day he come, ready, ready. He said, only waiting to be seen. Wow, this one really kau-kau. This type of disciple, not easy to handle. Ready long ago, no, when he tell you he already seen beyond mind. If you don't have that quality or the understanding, I tell you, you sweat. Knowing what the fifth patriarch mean, the fifth patriarch then knocked on the mortar twice with his stick and left. So knowing what the fifth patriarch meant in the middle of the night at the third watch, Huining went to the fifth patriarch's room. Here you pay attention. The night master Hongren received Huining in his abode. He expounded the Diamond Sutta to him. That's why the Tuesday class want me to expound the Diamond Sutta now. Because they want this awakening. Then Mimi's question is answered here. When he came to the passage, he just heard this passage, you know. To use the mind, yet be free from attachment. This is what Sakyamuni teach. Understand? That's why I told you, karmically conditioned out for you to use. Understand? The mind is a tool. The mind doesn't control you. Understand? To use and not attach. Understand? That is the five aggregate. Understand? That's why you must understand. Law of karma recognized. Understand? So use. There's a duty. Use. Do. Live. But don't attach. Understand? You can love. You can do whatever you want. Understand? Good food can eat. Don't be deluded. The only thing is, don't attach. Because everything is condition arising. Not so real. Because this condition arising is in a state of flux. impermanent, dependent on condition it arises. When condition cease to be, it ceases. No reality, empty. That's why it's anatta. No permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I, therefore this can be mine. So Hui Ning, the moment he heard this sentence, the first verse is the mind must have no dwelling, he penetrated the true mind, etc. So we repeat how many times already, you penetrate or not? The mind must have no dwelling. Then now, to use the mind yet be free from any attachment, he immediately get a great awakening. Hui Ning came to great enlightenment that all dhammas are inseparable from the self nature. You remember the pneumona? The self nature is the oneness nature, the pneumona. Everything is within. Everything comes from it. That's why the Tao. Tao he Tao, Fei Chang Tao. But nothing is apart from the Tao. It's the same teaching. So when you understand that, Hui Ning was so amazed. No? Then he exclaimed, this one you read. Actually, very easy to be enlightened. Really, Hui Ning, he knew. That's why the way he teach, very penetrative. Then I share with you also something like that. You know what he said? No? How amazing that the self nature is originally pure. That's why I don't have to do anything. Just silent. How amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying. That's why 不生不灭. Understand? Then what else he say? How amazing that the self nature is inherently complete already. Understand? Use some more kipo, use the mundane mind. Want to cultivate this, cultivate that, do this, do that. Just understand that originally the true mind is already the meditative mind. So don't have to note this, note that, and do all the funny things. Just silent. Then you can realize what the true mind is. Then you can connect. Then you will understand everything. Because from there, everything comes. And to there, everything returns. Then what else he say? How amazing that the self nature is neither move or stay. Understand? It doesn't do anything. Understand? Then how amazing that all dharmas come from this self nature. You know why all dharma come from this self nature? Because the direct seeing awakened to all the truth. Understand? It has nothing. But through that direct seeing, the form and mind can awaken. Understand? The form and mind can develop the understanding and wisdom. That's why the form and mind no longer deluded. No more suffering. And therefore my mind enlightened. But therefore my mind not you, understand not? Condition arising entity, karmically conditioned out for you to use. You know, that's why living being cannot understand. Then after that, you know what he told? Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, told Hui Ning, if one recognizes the original mind or the true mind or the original nature, he is called a great man, teacher of God and man. And the Buddha, he passed the robe and begging bowl as a symbol of the Dharma seal of sudden enlightenment to Hui Ning. Although this story is as clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Ning was not permitted to make himself known as a sixth patriarch until later on. This was due to the fear that his fellow monk might be angered and harm him, that he had been made the sixth patriarch and not Sun Siu or one of the other monks who had seniority over him. Then fifth patriarch, middle of the night, sent him off. That's why he ended up with the hunters for, don't know, 15 or 16 years. So this is Hui Ning's sixth patriarch's platform sutta that I want to share with you. So I hope it benefits you. So you want to rejoice or not? You better rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh yeah, now I remember. Just now I saw there are three the poem there. You come there, huh? We go there for a while. Ha, 见性成佛. Wow, you read before. Oh, see? Oh, last week, I also asked you all to read. Just now I came in, I saw it again. Oh, I said, wow, so beautiful. I said, how come like that? 明心见性, you remember song, right? Then, 见性成佛. The mind that has wisdom will realize the true mind, the true nature, the original nature. That's why 明心见性. Then that poem continue from what song write on. 见性成佛. When you realize that true nature, the oneness nature, you become the Sammasambuddha. So all this you can understand if you really cultivate. If you don't cultivate, not easy. If you use your thinking mind, mundane mind, it's very, very difficult. Okay, so now we finish. I will read the program objective for the benefit of Song and Sally. Turn to the first page. Meditation retreat at Mahayana Triple Gem Temple, Binchang, Cameron Highland. From 14th of March to 22nd of March, 2015. Introduction. This meditation retreat caters for all participants who may be from different background or Buddhist tradition and varying experiences. The emphasis here is on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha instead of focusing on the methods and techniques of meditation. The program was prepared to allow participants to settle down slowly into the retreat proper via a less stringent first session, then where more Dhamma understanding will be emphasized, followed by a more stringent second session, 18 March to 22nd March, where noble silence, heedfulness and diligent meditative cultivation will be emphasized. The main purpose of the retreat is, or main objective of the retreat is, to realize the noble teachings of the Buddha via sincerely cultivating the much needed heedfulness or apamada as advised by the Buddha before his parinibbana, and his Dhammapada verse 183, 21, 22, and 23. Then to train ourselves during the meditation retreat to develop a very stable daily mindfulness or silent mind with inner awareness leading to the heedfulness from moment to moment. From moment we commence our retreat. To diligently maintain noble silence of mind and speech during the retreat duration. To cultivate sati sampajana or mindfulness and clear comprehension of the four aspects. First is sincerity of purpose, domain of meditation, suitability, non-delusion, as a sign of respect for the way place. Third is learn to be at ease and naturally relax and aware via heedfulness most of the time. So the key word is at ease and relax, and naturally relax. Always move, speak and act naturally, but with inner awareness throughout the day to stabilize the five spiritual faculty until they become very stable and unshakable. With the stable daily mindfulness or awareness, use it to cultivate the noble eightfold path. We are constant creative contemplation, reflection and inquiry into the four noble truths, leading to the perfection of the noble eightfold path factors of right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness and right samadhi, so that you are incapable of any evil whenever you are heedful. To maintain this heedfulness or apamada training throughout the day, to insight into the three characteristics of nature, to realize the insight knowledges and wisdom needed to liberate the mind, leading to the cessation of forming mind as thought by the Buddha. Then the last objective is to diligently develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma needed to understand the Buddha's teaching. The important essential Dhamma are the five mental hindrances, pancha nivaranas, the five spiritual faculty of pancha indriya, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the seven factors of enlightenment of satta, bhujanga, dana, sila, and bhavana, and the five daily contemplation. What I miss out is the 12-link dependent origination. Okay, with this, you can start your meditation. So, 3:30, you're supposed to end at 5:30. Oh, sorry. 4:30. Okay, maybe today you do 1 hour, tomorrow you do more. Hey, no. You're supposed to end at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock too short. 4:30, 4:30 I come back. Okay? So 4:30 to 5:30 we have our Q&A. So now we will recite the salutation to the Triple Gem. Then after that you can start your meditation. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhamma namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you all can start your meditation. I will help you to off the light.